It is the morning show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Planet Money here, breaking down complicated economic concepts and getting at your questions about the almighty dollar. But first, it's WPR's Winter Pledge Drive, where the cost-benefit analysis is pretty straightforward. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. This is our year-end membership drive. It's your chance to support the programs that you count on every day on the Ideas Network, programs that keep you in touch, informed, interested. The list goes on. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. So important as we end this year and look forward to 2019.
Last hour, we heard from three new and returning members. Thank you for those pledges, and thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. But right now, we've got a brand new hour, and we've got some exciting news. A dollar-for-dollar match.
Love it.
Is in effect right now, up to $4,500. It's a generous match. It comes to you from 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Alan Sensky. And what it means, basically, is that they will match every dollar that you give.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs you love. Give this very moment your pledges match dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, it's really a great opportunity and a great opportunity for you to help support Wisconsin Public Radio. And it's really important to do that because a large slice of funding for WPR programs, in fact, the biggest slice of funding for our programs, is listener support from people just like you. So while all of our funding sources, whether it's the state and federal governments and businesses, are important, it's your contribution that makes the most difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is thanks to your support. So keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And it's the season of giving. You can do two good things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio right now. Your donation will support the programs you rely on, and you can ask for one of the food bank gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month, or one-time gifts of $120 or $240.
These thank you gifts provide meals to those facing hunger in your area through regional food banks, and it all starts with your gift to WPR at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
With 24 hours a day of locally and nationally sourced talk programs here on the Ideas Network, we've aired about 9,000 hours of interesting conversations in 2018. We did the math. As a listener, you know you can count on great variety when you tune into the Ideas Network.
And I was told there would be no math. But as a donor, we know that you make it all possible. So make your year-end gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you make your gift, you make amazing things happen.
During this membership drive, we'd like to say thanks for your support in a very special way. When you pledge $10 or $20 a month to support WPR, you can choose a thank you gift that will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio, and do two good things with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. We're asking for your support during this year-end membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And you may be asking yourself, how do you know if it's time to donate to Wisconsin Public Radio? Well, if you're listening right now during our year-end membership drive, that's a pretty good sign. And whether you tune in for one favorite program or whether you find yourself checking in repeatedly throughout the day or the week, you've made a habit of listening.
Now make a habit of giving. Listener support is the largest chunk of funding for WPR programs. When you give, you make the programs and services you've come to rely on possible. It's easy to donate. We have a match going on dollar for dollar. Get started started right now with your gift of $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, Kate, thanks for mentioning that dollar-for-dollar match. Up to $4,500 is still in effect right now, and in fact, all the way up through 8 o'clock, assuming we don't get there, but we are going to get there.
Ye of little faith.
We are going to make it. Lots of room for you. Lots of room for you to get in on this. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Dow plunged yesterday, and U.S.-China trade relations seems to be the culprit. Planet Money is here to help us work through some economic questions, and we'll begin with trade. Patty Hirsch is editor of the NPR podcast, The Indicator, from Planet Money. He's been an economics and finance news correspondent and editor for 20 years. His book, Man Versus Markets, Economics Explained, Plain and Simple, breaks down our financial system. He's also released a novel earlier this year. It's a historical thriller about Wall Street titled The Devil's Half Mile. Patty, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so stocks took a huge tumble yesterday, 800 points. And what do we know about that? Is it the trade war to blame? Is it something else?
I think the trade war has a lot to do with that. I think it's about uncertainty. I mean, we learned during the Obama administration how much business and Wall Street hates uncertainty. You know, there's all this uncertainty about whether or not they were going to have more regulation, uncertainty about whether the Obama administration was friendly to business or not. Then the Trump administration comes in. Everybody thinks, oh yeah, the Trump administration is going to be great for business. The stock market soars. Now this uncertainty about trade policy, the uncertainty about, you know, what's going to happen with this trade war with China has just torpedoed the markets. And we saw a 3.5% drop yesterday. It was brutal.
Well, what do we know about what happened with China and the back and forth between President Trump and Xi Jinping?
Well, we know very little. I mean, this is the scary thing. You know, President Trump came back from this meeting and said, "Oh, you know, we've got a deal to kind of have a ceasefire, or sort of a tentative deal to have a ceasefire between us while we work out a deal in the next 90 days." But there were no specifics. There was nothing on paper. Nothing was handed out by anybody. There was nothing that, you know, journalists or commentators or investors could look through to kind of parse this. It was all just kind of a statement with nothing material. This morning, we did get something, a little bit more certainty from China itself, actually. China came out and said, for the first time, the Commerce Ministry acknowledged that Beijing did agree to a 90-day ceasefire to allow negotiations over trade to take place. And an unnamed spokesman there, so it's not even particularly official, but an unnamed spokesman there said that there is a quote, clear timeline and roadmap, and that China will implement an agreed-upon consensus. But again, you know, nothing specific, so people are still trying to read the tea leaves.
Are there any indications with you in the tea leaves that we're coming upon an economic slowdown?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, a drop in the markets like this is worrying. I mean, it means that, you know, businesses are starting to push back a bit from the table. You know, certainly investors are pushing back from the table. We also saw yesterday's on Monday a little bit of a flickering in the bond markets. We started to see the yield curve flattening, and you know, for those who don't know, if you think about borrowing, it should be cheaper to borrow for a short time than it should for a longer period, right? People look at the U.S. Treasury and the rates that it's borrowing at. Right now, we're seeing that it's as cheap to borrow for long periods as it is for short periods, which kind of, you know, doesn't seem quite right. And in actual fact, in some parts of the market, it's cheaper to borrow for longer periods than short periods. So that seems really weird. And a lot of people are saying that that's a signal that we could be heading towards a recession. Now, we've been on Planet Money, we've been speaking to people who say, not so fast. It's just one tiny little indicator within the larger world. But certainly, you know, if you think about the dashboard on your car, things are starting to flicker a little bit red, which means maybe you should take the thing in for a service.
Where is the Fed in all of this and their interest rate intentions?
Well, I'm sure the Fed is watching this very, very carefully right now. I mean, you know, who can say? You know, the Fed is not the world's most transparent organization, but they'll be watching this very, very carefully to make sure that, you know, it keeps the economy on track as far as it can.
So what does it mean for business as businesses try to watch the relations with China? They try to keep a track on what the Fed might do to interest rates and whether there is something flickering on the horizon with a recession.
Well, it's really tough for businesses, right? Because businesses are all about certainty, right? They don't act. You know, businesses aren't going to invest in new workers or new equipment, or they're not going to expand unless they feel that the future is somewhat certain. You know, when they're faced with uncertainty, it's like, oh, I have no idea what the economy is going to look like in 6 months' time because of this tariff war. If they face that uncertainty, they're much less likely to do those things, and that crimps economic growth. And one of the big kind of table thumps from this administration has been that, you know, growth has been so good. And growth has been good. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, the employment situation has been great. There's no doubt about that. You know, this has been, we've had a great run for the last couple of years. But when you see something like this happening, it makes businesses think twice. And when businesses start thinking twice, that means they're much less likely to hire. They're much less likely to spend. They're much more likely to lay off people. And that is a bad thing for the economy. And that's why people, I think, are so concerned about this, and businesses in particular are worried about it.
Patty Hirsch, he edits The Indicator from Planet Money. He's here to help us on some pressing economic questions and the latest news here that we're seeing in this ongoing trade war. Do you have a question about the economy or the job market? Are you working more than one job? What is your situation like? 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we have Planet Money's Patty Hirsch in the house breaking down tricky financial concepts and fielding your questions about how money flows in our country. But first, it is WPR's Winter Pledge Drive, where the return on investment is always very solid. I'm here with Jean Purcell. This is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Our year-end drive is a time for you to think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2018 and think about how you want to keep them going strong in 2019, and then take action with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you should absolutely take action, because we've got that dollar for dollar match up to $4,500 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge, because 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Ellen Sensky, will double every dollar you give. So let me do the math for you. We're talking about dollars this hour. $100 turns into $200 to support Wisconsin Public Radio. $250 turns into $500, like that. And it's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. As I say, a great opportunity to double the impact of your pledge, and do it right now. WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
On the morning show and all day long on the Ideas Network, you hear multiple sides of an issue so you can make up your mind. Together, we keep up with the issues of the day. We have some fun. There are lighter moments, and we follow our curiosity. We learn together.
We sure do, and there's nothing else quite like it on the radio. Engaging guests, and we hear from listeners as well. It really is something special, and it's your support that's a vital part of what makes it all happen. The biggest piece of our funding, by the way, is listener support here at Wisconsin Public Radio. So make your pledge during this, our year-end membership drive, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And when you do, you'll be supporting the radio programs that you count on.
If you're looking for the best way to make a gift to WPR, become a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make automatic monthly donations from your bank account or credit card.
So, for example, a lot of people give $15 a month on this plan. Some give $100, but the amount is up to you. As a sustaining member, you are an ongoing member of WPR, and you provide reliable funding to your favorite radio station. So give now and become a sustaining member at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
Dining room chairs, because I eat in front of the TV more often than I should.
I think I bought a $5 pair of wireless headphones once, thinking, how bad can they be? They were pretty bad.
Decorative holiday towels.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning, I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and that's why your support during this year-end membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And we know your time is valuable. We value your time as well, so giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Super quick, easy to do. Your gift right now really helps, and it will go twice as far. Take advantage of the match money on the table. So take a few minutes right now. Support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match remains in effect this hour. We've still got, about $3,500 or so left to raise, so plenty of room for you to get in, make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, and have the impact of that pledge doubled, but only if you do it during this hour. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
It is the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. New report says 6 out of every 10 Americans are anxious about their bills. Almost half pay them late. That number crunching is by the Boston financial firm Aite Group. Worker productivity is been in the tank a long time. That's defined as real output per hour of work. But what is real? Is checking an Instagram feed during work hours hurting our output? And why were the 1950s and 60s the golden age for workers getting stuff done? We're exploring curious economic questions with Patty Hirsch as our guide. He's editor of NPR's podcast, The Indicator. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you get paid? Would you work differently if you had a daily paycheck? And are you working more than one job to get by? What's your situation like? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Patty, the labor market puts out the quarterly reports on worker productivity. Before we get into the trend lines, can you help us understand how they calculate how productive we are and why that matters?
Well, productivity is a really easy calculation to make. You basically take GDP, the value of the amount of goods and services that we produce during the year, then you get the workforce and you divide it, and mm-hmm. and that gives you a number, and that tells you how productive those individual workers are being. And right now, individual workers are not being particularly productive. We're running at about, you know, 0.5% a year, and have been for quite some time now, which really sort of contrasts, you know, in a blinding way with what happened in the 40s, 50s, 60s, where we were running at about sort of 3%, often as high as 4%, depending on which measurement you look at. So it's a little worrying when you look at productivity, because productivity in some people's eyes is really it's the key metric. It's, you know, how much stuff are we producing per person? And right now it's not that great.
Why did we hit a wall? What's been going on?
Well, there are a number of theories. I mean, a lot of people say, they sort of look at the past and say, well, you know, look at the 40s and the 50s and, you know, look at the technology that was kind of being used back then. People were starting to travel by plane. You know, more and more people had, you know, not everybody had electricity back then, even if, can you believe it, but most people had access to electricity. So these kind of life-changing technologies had really started to take hold at this point, you know, following the war, the Second World War, and that's when you started to see productivity really, really ramp up. Then we hit the 80s, where there was a recession, of course. It bounced back during the 90s. But now people say, well, you know, we don't have those kind of life-changing technologies. You know, there was a computing revolution, but that's kind of past now. And now we're into this kind of internet revolution, and it doesn't really seem to have taken hold. And that puzzles a lot of people.
Well, that's really curious, because there is this whole digital revolution. Our smartphones guiding us wherever we go, Amazon dropping shipments same day. That seems really productive.
It does, doesn't it? And there are a couple of theories about that. The first is that maybe a lot of this productivity is actually just not being counted properly. So it's not being registered. So, for example, if you know you're doing stuff on Google or whatever right now, that's actually helping Google, and it is in that way productive, but it's not actually being measured. So maybe it's just, you know, we're just falling out of bed that way. We're just not counting that stuff properly. The second is that, you know, maybe it's that, you know, people are just being they're not being paid enough, right? So if wages have been low for really, you know, since the 1970s, they haven't really gone up in a big way since then. And, you know, it's just incrementally. And a lot of people say, well, if wages are still very, very low, then it means that companies are less likely to invest in the kind of technology that will actually make workers more productive. I mean, for example, you know, if you're digging a ditch, right, and workers are very cheap to hire, you're going to give five workers a spade and get them to dig the ditch rather than investing in a piece of equipment that will allow one worker to dig a ditch much more quickly. And that's the kind of the way that people are looking, even at the internet now. They're saying it's not providing the kind of value compared to the inexpensiveness of labor right now.
Could there also be a lag time that this will eventually catch up? These numbers will catch up.
You nailed it. A lot of people are saying, you know, if you look at the technology like electric lights or even, you know, plane travel, it actually took a long time for those technologies to be adopted right across the economy and for those effects to actually take place. And if you look at sort of internet penetration in the United States, not even close to 100%, right? So not everybody is using this stuff. Not all businesses are using all the available technology. It's taking a while to actually become adopted by individuals and businesses. So maybe it will take, you know, another 10, 15 years before we actually see the real effects of those in terms of our productivity as workers.
We're breaking down economic concepts with Planet Money here on The Morning Show. Patty Hirsch is editor of The Indicator. Here in Wisconsin, the unemployment rate remains near historic lows, hovering around 3%. But does this reflect your job situation? Are you working more than one job to get by? Is our low unemployment an indication of a prosperous place? Join in 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Patty will stick around. We have a lot more economic questions to answer on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We're exploring curious economic questions this hour with Planet Money's podcast editor, Patty Hirsch. But first, let's take a moment to check in on the greenbacks flowing into our winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. This is our year-end membership drive, and you count on us for in-depth talk about the issues, and we count on you to keep these discussions going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2019 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. We've got a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Ellen Sansky. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200 and so on. So now is the time to take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've covered a lot of ground today, looking at economic issues, looking at what's happening at the state capitol. So much to cover today, and you're along with us. WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour, you make many, many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes. Take advantage of this match money on the table. Make your pledge.
And during this year-end membership drive, we've got a special thank you gift for you. You can ask for one of the food bank gifts. These are options available at $10 or $20 a month or one-time gifts of $120 or $240.
Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. Get started now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Joy.
I'm Scott.
And we're from Madison. We became sustaining members because we do listen to it every day. We really appreciate it. We thought this is something we want to make sure continues. We are now fixed incomers, but we enjoy this station. It's one of the highlights. I couldn't imagine living anywhere without a public radio station.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell, and we're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs you enjoy on the air. So whether your pledge is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
We do, because there are so many important and interesting issues covered here on the Ideas Network. You've been hearing a lot of that this morning. What's happening at the state capitol, what's happening in the economy, not just here, but around the world. You rely on these discussions, and that's why it's your gift during our year-end membership drive is so important.
Help us put a strong finish on 2018 so we can continue to discuss the issues in the months to come. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That dollar-for-dollar match remains in effect. There is still room for you to have your gift be matched, so give now and double the impact of your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you do, your support of Wisconsin Public Radio will go twice as far.
And by the by, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. I appreciate it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As a sustaining member myself, I agree with that entirely. You know, we heard from Robert in Clear Lake, who says, I listen to WPR every day, and I go to bed listening to WPR every night. I learn new things every day, and I appreciate the news. Living in northern Wisconsin, close to the Minnesota border, WPR also allows me to keep up what is going on in my home state of Wisconsin. Well, thanks for that, and make your pledge now at 888-202-2552.
It is the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Later this morning, you can hear live NPR coverage of the funeral for former President George Herbert Walker Bush. Ceremony will take place at the National Cathedral in Washington. President Trump, as well as former presidents Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Jimmy Carter are among those paying tribute to the 41st president. That's this morning at 10, right here on the Ideas Network. Now to the numbers. In September, get this, 3.6 million people quit their jobs. The Labor Department's October numbers should be out soon. Quits are seen as a positive economic indicator, with the thinking that people won't leave a job unless they're reasonably confident they could easily get another one. But wages, they're not rising very quickly. We're breaking down what's going on with the job market. Patty Hirsch is our guide. He's editor of the Planet Money podcast, The Indicator. Getting your thoughts on the job market here in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Patty, Planet Money fielded a question recently about paycheck frequency, first of all, and the rhythm of how we get paid. Mm. We get paid monthly, you get paid biweekly. What did you find out?
Well, we found out that, you know, it, depending on who you are, it depends, you know, you might want to be paid in a different way, right? I mean, some people would like to be paid every day, so it would help them with their budgeting. Other people would like to be paid every month because, you know, being paid twice a month or biweekly it can be, like, difficult for their administration. But what we find is that really you don't really have a choice. Your company basically makes the decision about when to pay you, and it's really up to, depending on what suits the company best, is what you sort of have to get used to. So, you know, and most companies have really worked out that it's better for them to pay either twice a month or biweekly, either of those two. And I'm not really sure why this is. It's originally started because of a change in the tax law back in the 1950s, actually forced companies to start administering their books in a way other than, you know, once a month or even every day, depending on what they used to do. And they've kind of absorbed that, and they've sorted their accounting out that way, and it makes it administratively easy for them. And we as workers are stuck with their decision pretty much.
So, if we look at pay schedules and, you know, consider biweekly or monthly, mm-hmm. or whatever, would it be more opportune for us to be paid in a certain way, in a certain schedule that would perhaps be better for our bottom line?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you're the kind of person who is much better off with, you know, you know what's coming in and going out every single day, if you're that kind of person who needs that kind of discipline, then getting paid on a daily basis would be great for you. The problem is, of course, from a company's perspective, if it's going to pay you every day, then it needs to generate that paycheck every day in some way, and that's probably easier using technology now, but it requires some kind of a system that's going to be set up to make that easier to happen, and that can be expensive. Other people, I mean, personally, I would like to be, I get paid once every 2 weeks. I would rather get paid once a month. That's easier for me for my accounting, but the company's not going to do that for me. So I get paid every 2 weeks, and that causes me a problem because it means that I'm not paid on a monthly basis, because it's once every 2 weeks, which means that there's 52 weeks in the year. So it's you're not getting paid actually every month. You're getting paid every 2 weeks, which kind of messes my accounting up a little bit because I'm doing all of my expenses on a monthly basis. So, you know, it really depends on who you are. It's a very subjective thing, but unfortunately, you know, the way companies work is that they're not interested in subjectivity. They're interested in what makes them tick better.
Well, our pay schedule is kind of here to stay as they are because companies perhaps don't want to change over their accounting, and then they have to look at the IRS and align with the federal government.
Absolutely. But what's interesting is the way that work is changing. We're seeing many more people use, you know, in the gig economy now, so many more people are actually not on staff, but they're being paid as casual workers or as part-time or temporary workers. And by definition, those temporary workers get paid on a very different schedule, right? You may only work 3 days a week. You may, you know, may even only work sort of 5 hours a day. So that complicates businesses' accounting a great deal. And that actually may force businesses, as we sort of transition to this gig economy status, and, you know, that's not the whole economy by any means, but it's becoming more and more the case. And as we transition to that, and it will force businesses to become more flexible in the way that they pay people. So it'll be quite interesting to see how that plays out over time.
Is there any research there? Would we be more productive? Would we work harder if we were paid every day?
There is no. That's a great. We should do that on the indicator. We should find out whether or not there is. I don't believe that data exists. When we did the story on this the other day, we looked around for that data, but people aren't sort of crunching those numbers. It's so granular. But I think that's really, really interesting. So I think that we'll definitely poke into that, and listeners can check us out to see what they think.
We had a listener write to us whose job is in processing and issuing payday loans, and this person saw some patterns. This person services 40 loans. Customers, mm-hmm. and half of them are working more than one job. And the listener pointed out these loan customers hold positions like district manager for large companies, including Walmart and Mediacom. With not knowing a lot more details to go on, what economic headwinds are happening here?
Well, you know, this is one of the really interesting things about the economy now. When you hear people talking about the unemployment situation, they're saying, you know, the jobs situation looks great right now. Unemployment is at this historic low. And that's true. The problem is it doesn't show the whole picture. And there are a lot of people who are working two, sometimes three jobs in order to keep ahead because of the high cost of living, because of the high cost of rents, because of the cost of housing. you know, it means that there are a lot of people who don't really, that their actual problem in the way that they live their lives doesn't show up in those statistics. It's like, yes, we're looking at, you know, a jobless rate of close to zero. Yeah, but what kind of jobs are they? How secure are those jobs? How many jobs do you actually have to work in order to keep your head above water? How many people are actually really in the job market and actually looking for work? You know, it doesn't show those sort of granular details. And that's really interesting that your listener came up with that particular statistic, because he or she is absolutely right. There are all sorts of people out there who have to work multiple jobs in order to stay ahead in this economy.
Could working multiple jobs and the whole gig economy as well, could that impact the reason why we're seeing some very low unemployment?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if there are little jobs out there that you can do and you're only working half a day, you know, that may not be enough to keep you off food stamps, but it may be enough to keep you off the unemployment rolls, right? So you show up as, oh, this person is employed. Yes, but maybe that person isn't fully employed, right? So that looks great from a national statistic point of view. Oh, the economy looks really, really rosy. But from an individual economy point of view, it doesn't look so rosy, because that person maybe has to look for government support in order to put food on the table for his or her family.
When we're looking at the payday loan industry here, and this person works in the payday loan industry, are Americans still going to these very high interest loans to get by? Is there still a trend? Because many states have tried to shut down these types of loans.
Oh, yeah, no, payday lenders are doing great. And, you know, in many cases, the reason payday lenders are doing so well is because the areas that they serve are underbanked, because the banks aren't servicing them. Now, of course, if you say, well, a bank is a business, why should it serve those people? Fair enough. Maybe we need to have a system in this country where, you know, like they have in Germany, where the post office system actually services everybody and makes sure that you don't have a portion of the economy that's under or unbanked, which means they then have to turn to lenders. Payday loan lenders, some of whom are predatory, you know, with enormously high rates of interest that, you know, really effectively cripple people who've borrowed money, because they keep on having to pay back the interest on these loans before they even get to the principal. So they never actually end up paying, or often fail to actually pay off the loan, just because they're dealing with the interest. And because of the way the economy is configured right now, because so many people are working these little jobs, these part-time jobs, and aren't able to earn enough money to put food on the table, they have to resort to payday loans and to that kind of those kind of borrowing systems in order to actually make enough money to keep their heads above water.
We've seen some states too raising their minimum wages, and some larger employers like Walmart boosting wages a bit. What do we know about wage growth and then also inflation?
Well, we are starting to see some real wage growth now, which is great. I mean, and that's the thing. When you have a very tight labor market, when you have close to full employment, it means that, you know, companies are there. There's competition for workers, which means companies are forced to raise wages, which is what you're seeing in Walmart's case. And that's a great thing. That's really, really good news. Now, what we want to do is we want to hope that the labor market becomes broader and deeper, that more and more people come onto the employment rolls, and those people who have, you know, who sort of gave up looking for work, then get work and start to get paid more. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're hoping for. And, you know, we seem to be headed in that direction, which is why, of course, why the Federal Reserve is worried about inflation. And it's saying, well, you know, maybe we should increase interest rates a little bit now just to make sure that the economy doesn't overheat. And, you know, it's great when we're saying these things. Can we sustain this? You know, who knows? I don't have a crystal ball, but that's what we're aiming for.
And Patty, finally, I want to run that number by you again. 3.6 million people quitting their jobs. Those were September numbers. October coming out pretty soon. Is that a positive economic indicator there that people are feeling pretty confident they're going to find a better job out there?
Absolutely. The quit rate is great. It's all about churn in the economy. If you're feeling confident enough to quit your job because you can presumably find another job that presumably pays better or gives you some kind of, you know, better situation, maybe you can move, maybe it'll give you better, you know, secure, better protections, better health care, whatever it is. If you're feeling secure enough to quit your job, that means the economy is doing great, certainly as far as you can see. It means that you're feeling much more confident. It means you're feeling willing to put your own career, your own life on the line in a way. And that's a great indication that people are confident about the state of the economy. And that's a very good thing.
Well, Patty Hirsch, thank you for making time for us. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Patty Hirsch is the editor of the NPR podcast, The Indicator, from Planet Money. He's been an economics and finance news correspondent and editor for 20 years. His book, Man vs. Markets, Economics Explained, Plain and Simple, breaks down our financial system. And you're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Stay with us next hour as we head back to the state capitol to check out the latest votes in the lame duck session. We'll look at how the bills are affecting Wisconsinites. But first, we're excited to give you an update on our winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. We're in our year-end membership drive. This is your public radio station, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Now is your chance to make sure we get a good start to 2019. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year. When you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've got some pretty big news regarding that dollar-for-dollar match we've been talking about this hour. We have met our match.
Sweet.
It is sweet. So thanks to everybody who called in and helped us make that match. Thanks also to the 9XM Leadership Circle members and Ellen Sensky, who helped provide that match and provide some incentive for you to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. But just because we've met the match doesn't mean we should stop. We've still got a few minutes left in the hour, so let's keep going. Let's keep pledging. Let's keep supporting Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yes, as Jean says, the work doesn't stop. We did make our match, but we need 8 more pledges to stay on track this hour. We can get there one pledge at a time. It's been such an informative morning here on The Morning Show, and we worked through the night to bring you this content. We have gone to the state capitol. We've dug deep into economic questions. We bring this to you each morning. WPR is listener supported. This is a service, and that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this very hour and many, many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your pledge.
And don't forget, as the donor, you're the one who gets to decide just how much to give. And maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on going out to dinner or doing things with friends. Those are things you enjoy and that make life better. Just like listening to WPR, the important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you, and then you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Around the holidays, you may have bought some strange gifts.
So I have a friend that loves butter, and I'm giving her a book about butter.
Not really sure what she expected me to do with the card table, and that's kind of a weird gift for a 7-year-old.
I did get a pair of socks from my cousin, except it was like 4 months late, which, you know, was a bummer to get a pair of socks in April.
This holiday season, consider a much more practical gift. Support Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your tax-deductible gift makes the radio service you rely on possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. We're asking for your support during this year-end membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And take this opportunity to help us reach our goal that we need to make before 8 o'clock to stay on track as part of our year-end membership drive. Make your pledge and do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And at WPR, you get to choose how much you give, and a contribution of any amount makes a difference. Here are some suggested amounts. Perhaps the same amount you pay per month for Netflix, or for cable.
Or possibly for coffee, which, like WPR, is something that you look forward to every single day. The point is, you pay for a lot of things every day that, you know, while they may be small in and of themselves, they add up to a nice little chunk of change. And we're asking you to think about WPR in the same way. So make your pledge now. You get to pick the amount. Your pledge does make a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Make your pledge right now. WPR.org is how you can do it online. You can also give us a call, 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.